Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
How much overreaction are we going to get today?
Crazy. It is crazy.
Rangers-Devils game 7 tonight.
Yeah, but my overreaction... Oh, how the mighty have fallen, Carolina!
How about that? Oh, we got to discuss the ramifications of yet another record-setting, record-breaking regular season champion going down in the first round in sports.
Is this the great? We should rank this with the greatest upsets of all time.
Oh no, this is. I mean, what happened to the Bruins?
This is
epic.
This is what happens. Damn. When you take my Red Wings titles down.
Yeah.
You stinkeroonies.
I mean, that just unbelievable. The Panthers winning in 7. The 73
overtime.
Win.
Overtime.
Think about it. The 73 win Warriors at least got to the NBA Finals before they blew a 3-1 lead. At least they got to an NBA Finals.
And it was controversy. A player was suspended and all that stuff,
stop.
Draymond.
Well, that you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it's wild. So, again, we have a Game 7 tonight, Rangers-Devils. I'd love to hear on both sides of that one because, that's another – think about it. With the Bruins out
– opens it up for everybody.
Oh, damn. If you're the Rangers, if you're the Devils too.
Yeah.
But if you're either one of these teams, aren't you now looking at the East like
– It's almost like Milwaukee being out.
What, Carolina?
It's almost like Milwaukee being out.
Yeah, it's fair. Carolina and Florida, like you can't beat them.
But this is a good thing. Like, it's always great, like, when a team beats a great team that you don't think you can beat.
Yeah.
Right? It happened.
Milwaukee and Miami.
It happened with the Steelers when we beat the Patriots. Because it's in no world, no metaverse in which the Patriots ever lose to the Steelers, right? So it happens in sports. So now if you're the other team, you got to say, oh, snap, we got a real shot.
Yep. You got to believe it. You got to believe it.
Already we have somebody on the line. We ain't even mentioned the Knickerbockers yet. And we will have no Knick slander today.
How did you – all right, so you were at the game.
I was at
you
the game.
You brought the family, which is awesome. And, didn't reach out to me to tell me that you were around or where to find you. I mean, Patrick Ewing's in the building.
I know. I saw
Aaron Rodgers. Hi, Ryan. Aaron Rodgers in the building, as I told you he would be.
Does he have a residency in the garden?
I think he slept there because he was there for the Rangers-Devils game late.
Right.
And then that was a quick turnaround. He might have just taken a nap at the garden. But how about him feeling like, again, that building and how it was. Ranger game Saturday night was insane. And then, of course, the Knick game. That first half, that building was great. But before we get into all that, at least I got to see Patrick and Aaron. Didn't get to see you. You know, like, no.
At least I got
a hello and a wave from Patrick and Aaron. I got nothing out of you.
They told me I wasn't good enough to be in the ESPN suite. They put me in a low district suite.
Whatever.
I think I was up there in press row.
Stop.
I was up at the top. I was like, oh, let me adjust this banner for y'all.
Licking the ceiling?
Yeah. Let me dust off the Patrick Ewing banner hanging.
All right.
I got you.
But all, in reality, again, all right, 800-919-3776.
I'm still encouraged.
We are going overreaction Monday on all this stuff. You got Rangers-Devils tonight, overreactions after game 6 win by the Rangers, and what a third period that was. The Knicks losing game 1. You know they've never won a series when they've lost the first game? 0-7. That's a problem.
No, see your knuckles? That's knock on something.
Well, I always say it's got to end eventually, right?
We're going to fix that.
All right, and there's that. And then, of course, there's an NFL draft with the Jets and Giants both kind of loaded up. And, by the way, Barstadamus on that second-round pick. Barstadamus knew something.
Listen,
so that offensive line situation, you know, they figured. All right, so we got all the overreactions. What you got? The draft, hockey, the basketball. We will not talk baseball because both our teams suck. Let's just move on from that. How do you feel about the Knicks losing game 1 the way they lost to Julius Randle didn't play?
Right.
Are you like, oh no, they're in trouble or what?
I don't think they're in trouble. It's just the minor adjustments. They have to figure out this pick and roll. This pick and roll was really killing them. And then what happens is it makes the defense scramble. And, you know, I looked at the Miami. I looked up, and Miami at one point was 40% from 3. And that was the difference in the game. It was the free throws.
Yep.
It was the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the little leak outs. The Miami Dolphins found ways to sneak out and get easy scores. And the Knicks had to work for everything.
Right.
They had to work for everything in the half court, and everything was 2 points. Right? They would have 60 points in the paint. Right? So you talk about
40 in the first half.
Right. And then you look up and you're like, they only up 5. You're
right.
Like, why are they only up 5? I'm sure it's a stat out there. I know it's out there.
I got a million.
How many field goals? I bet you the Knicks scored more field goals than the Miami team because they hit almost double threes, 40% from three. That's what kept them in the game.
Knicks hit 41 field goals overall in the game, shot 48% from the field, which is very good. Yep. The Heat only made 36 field goals, but shot 42% from the field. The difference? The Knicks were 7-for-34 from three.
And the charity strike.
A god-awful 20.6%. And
the charity strike.
The Heat were 13-39, which is a 33%, which isn't great, but 13-7, as R.J. Barrett said, that's too big a gap. The free throws. You know what's funny? No one talked about this part after the game. And I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but it's interesting that Tom Thibodeau did. And that is what you just said. So I was wondering how the officiating would go in this series.
Yeah.
The Knicks
let him play. It was physical.
No, it was. But the Knicks were called for 21 fouls.
Yeah.
And remember, they weren't fouling on purpose late in the game. Like, you know, you could say, well, they got a bunch late. 21 fouls. You know how many fouls the Heat were called for?
13.
14.
Ah.
14 fouls in a 48-minute physical game. And that's why Jalen Brunson got a tech, which he doesn't do. R.J. Barrett was furious. Yeah.
He got hit clipped a couple times going to the basket.
Yeah.
But see, but that's the difference.
And Tom Thibodeau said there was a lot of contact we didn't get.
What about the air ball, Kyle Lowry, I looked like I touched you, but I didn't touch him at all on a replay foul?
Thank you. Kyle Lowry, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Little Nicki Minaj came in and did his thing.
You got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, the timely shots. And that was the three-pointers, right?
He played
great.
And
the thing, when you look at the Knicks, all their shots were contested, going to the basket, in traffic. They missed at least 13 floaters.
Can I give you a stat that will make you throw up in your mouth? Every Knicks fan will hear this stat, and you will throw up in your mouth.
Yes, please give it to me because I'm trying to lose weight.
All right. Now, I told you the Knicks were 7-for-34 from downtown, which is awful. And they're in one now in the playoffs. Six games now in the playoffs. They're shooting 26% from three?
Yeah.
Awful. Like, really bad three-point shooting. And they survived it in the Cavs series. But game one yesterday was all about wide-open threes that they missed.
Yeah.
They were 5-for-23.
I was counting them.
From three.
Thank God for Obi.
When they were wide open. Like open threes means there's not a defender within 4 feet or more. And they missed, think about it. They were 5-for-23. They only made seven.
Yeah.
So five of the seven they made were wide open.
And Obi made four.
And Obi actually went 4-for-11, which is a lot of threes for him to take, but still. But if I tell you that 5-for-23 open threes, wouldn't you say to yourself, okay, the Heat are going to give you these. You were getting open shots. You just weren't making them. So there's two ways to look at it.
Brunson and Barrett were the ones taking.
Well, there was three of them. They were 1-for-16.
That's why I missed Grimes.
Brunson was 0-for-7. I'll give you another. I have a million of them. This is also going to make you throw up. Brunson's 0-for-7 from three, which he called this game horrific. He was 0-for-7. It was, for in Knicks history, the second most threes attempted without a make.
Ooh,
in Knicks
Starks.
Playoff history, yes. Our good friend John Starks, who was in the building.
That big game that when he just kept shooting them.
You mean the game seven in the NBA Finals?
They can't that all big game? Out. Let it rain!
He was 0-for-11. He was 0-for-11 in that game, man.
I can't believe he
that
had
the kahunas. That one hurts so much.
I still can't believe he had the kahunas to keep shooting them.
I give him credit. I mean, I do give him credit. Where did Let It Rain go, by the way?
Oh, man. It's like
where did Let It Rain go?
It's like
usually right here. There it is.
It's like Harlem Nights. Don't shoot that little stuff! Don't shoot that little stuff!
But think about that.
That's the difference of
the
game.
That's how historic the 0-for-7. This is a Brunson who shoots 40% from three, 0-for-7, and it's the second worst that Knicks have ever had, and John Starks was 0-for-11.
But at least he had a good game in the paint. Like, he made a lot of tough floaters, getting to the basket.
He had 25 points and seven assists, but he had a good game.
If he would have hit three of those, if he would have just shot 40%, that would have been the difference in the game.
So that's the question I have. Do you look at the 5-for-23 on open threes and say, they can't be that bad forever. And if the Heat are giving them those shots, they're going to make them, and they're the Knicks shot 20% from three. If they shot 25% from three, they probably win the game. If they shoot 30% from three, they definitely win the game.
How about they hit their free throws?
Yeah, 12-for-20 is bad. Eight misses. That's not good.
I mean, you even if you just hit six of those, it's the, you know how in the any given Sunday we fight for that inch.
Oh, yeah.
The difference between winning and losing, right? It's the inches.
But I'm telling you, the missed threes only magnify everything else. And it makes you go, where was Quickly? It makes you go, what happened here? It makes you ask questions, but we also forget Julius Randle did not play.
And I think that's where you felt his absence. You felt his absence because, you know, when you think about creating, Hart is spending a lot of energy trying to.
And he did a great job on Butler.
I feel like you got to find times to give him a spell because then he doesn't have his legs underneath him for those open shots. And if Julius Randle's there, then these are open shots for him because he's not in the paint. He's not bringing the ball up. So his legs are stronger. Right. He can't
focus so much on one guy.
And I think that's what it is, man. And they're getting killed in this little pick and roll. That's all they're kicking with this pick and roll. They're getting the matchups they want. And Bam is Bam, and that's when you miss Julius because Bam is he's strong enough. When they went small, you don't have a Julius Randle to go out there when they go small to have a big man out there that can keep Bam out of the paint and keep Bam off the boards. They ain't have any strong guys to go out there with Bam, and that's where you miss him. Obi just ain't strong enough to handle Bam.
Obi still had, again, 18
Obi
and 8.
Obi has a great game.
I'm signing up for eight rebounds from Obi Toppin.
That third quarter was the kiss of death.
Yes.
They were plus +5, and at the end of the quarter, they lost it. I just feel like Miami got such easy offense.
Yes.
Because they had the Knicks defense scrambling on the pick and roll, and you just got guys getting wide open shots. And they weren't great from three. They weren't super efficient, but they hit them.
It was enough.
It was enough. But theirs was – you're talking about wide open. Theirs was wide-ass open.
Well, because they moved
like
the ball so well.
Like somebody trying to close out. Yeah, off the pick and roll.
They had 26 assists, Bart. I mean, that's all good ball movement. All right, do you want to hear from Jalen Brunson? Because Brunson, as I said, he had 25-7. But he had a horrific shooting performance from downtown. Here's Brunson because, as you know about him, he always has full accountability.
They finished the third quarter strong. Finished the second quarter strong. They had key moments in the game where, you know, we need to finish strong, be strong, and that starts with me. Today I was horrific. Yeah, just very uncharacteristic by me. And this one's on me. And I got to be better. We'll go from there.
So, I mean, him saying, I've got to be better, calling his performance horrific, saying a lot. Now, they are missing Julius Randle. We watched Randle pregame on the court. He was running, he was shooting, but he wasn't cutting. Again, rolled the ankle, he injured the ankle. We'll get to the, by the way, the Butler injury also we got to talk about. But game two now is Tuesday.
Must win.
And I agree. And Julius Randle's status, you know, is going to be critical in this game. Here's Tom Thibodeau on that.
I don't know how close, you know, I know he worked out before, and I just trust him and the medical staff to make that decision. So if he could go, I planned both ways. I planned with him going and planned if he didn't go. So, you know, once they make a decision, that's it, you know, and you live with it and you get ready with what you have. And so we have more than enough.
I mean, they had more than enough for most of this game.
They were up 12. Yeah, up 12.
Up to 40-28 second quarter, and the building, you were there, the building was on fire. And if they had just had, they had a couple of threes up 12 that you hit one of those, now it's, you know, suddenly 15, feeling like you're pulling away. But it just never happened.
Some bad possessions, and then when Jimmy just continues to leak out, and you got
Kevin
Love looking like Tim Couch. Looking like Tim Couch.
You know what he said to Aaron Rodgers? He said, I have the best QBR in New York. That's what Aaron Rodgers in courtside. He's throwing those 65-foot passes down the court. Those were all back-breaking plays that you just felt the game just flip. And they were – I said this on the MSG postgame. The Heat with Love, with Lowry, and also Spoelstra, they outfoxed the Knicks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know
that's
what I mean? Like, they didn't out-talent them. They outfoxed them. And you can't let that happen again, right?
Yep.
Don't let that happen again. All right, meanwhile – 5 minutes to go, Jimmy Butler goes down. He's being guarded by Hart, and as he steps, Hart's foot kind of gets on his foot and rolls, and it rolled really bad. He went down, and he was down for a while in serious pain. He got up, and he stays in the game. And another thing you could criticize is how are you not finding him on the defensive end and trying to get at him when you know he can't move. He guarded one play in the last 5 minutes of the game. You know that? He wasn't involved defensively in anything.
He got you with the banana tailpipe.
And the one closeout opportunity he had was when Josh Hart had a wide open corner three that Josh missed brutally, like just really bad. So, you know, the Knicks never noticed that or never took advantage or tried to, that Butler was compromised. Now, the thing to watch now is that, okay, you have today off, and then you play tomorrow. But after tomorrow, they don't play till Saturday. So there's a lot of time off between, you know, the two. So you saw Spoelstra mouth a four-letter word on TV when Butler was down on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And he did get back up, but still, here's Spoelstra talking about the ankle issue, and there are some concerns about his availability in game two.
No idea. You know, you just don't know, you know, with ankle sprains. I don't even know if we'll know more by tomorrow. You know, we'll just have to see. It'll be a waiting game, you know, but he did not want to come out of the game, you know, so we left him in there.
So they left him in, and here's Butler on why he stayed in the game, aside from the fact that if he left, he wouldn't be able to return because he had those free throws he had to make. So he went in, he made the free throws, and stayed in the game all the way to the end.
Find a way to win, be out there, be a presence. I didn't do too much except for air ball at three, but I'll take the dough.
How's it feeling?
Like a rolled ankle.
How bad did that look to you, Bart?
It looked crazy, right? But you never know the severity. Looking at it, you never know the severity. You don't know, like, the flexion, how it hit. You know, you really don't know until the next day until you get the swelling, right?
There are reports that say it's after the game. Swelled
is past tense.
Dinahan, proper terminology here?
We'll have to consult Merriam-Webster here.
Yeah, swelled. Regardless, there was swelling, and there was some concern about that. So if he can't go in game two, that's obviously to the Knicks' advantage. But if it's actually something that will compromise him for a while, this series could be over. As bad as game one went, that injury could be critical.
Yeah, they got nothing without Jimmy.
Like, I mean, what are they going to do? Kyle Lowry really going to keep playing like that? I mean, come on.
Nah. You got to wear his little fat. And he came off the bench, too, so they're doing a smart
job.
They
swell.
Know,
okay.
They know he don't have a lot in him, but he's playing well in spurts. Smart for them not to start him and give him starter minutes.
Well, he took advantage of it quickly.
Yeah, he can take advantage of this. You know, he's smart, pump fake, the little fake ghost foul that he got.
I give him credit for being smart. Right.
I mean, because Jimmy Buckets does that. He caught him with a couple pump fakes and get people jumping and leaning into him. He got hard a couple times with some dumb fouls.
And the thing with Lowry, by the way, he's 6 feet tall. He had four block shots in the game, which I find kind of interesting.
That's funny.
But listen, though, because it's an interesting statistical thing. They call it a block shot.
Oh, swipe the ball.
But it's because when you gather to go for a layup,
you swipe it out your hand.
That's considered your shooting. So if you swipe it off the guy's leg, like he did to Barrett.
He's great on that.
That's not considered a steal or a deflection. Yeah. It's called a block. It's considered a block, which I don't know if
And people got to understand, too, when you're going against him, he's going to do that. So if it's a fast break.
Don't show the ball.
Put it over your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like why are you bringing it down there to him? Especially when you're probably 5 inches taller than him.
Yeah. Don't show the ball. But again, they got outfoxed. All right. It's time to hear from the people on Overreaction Monday. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get to some calls right now. And you mentioned it. Baritone was first in line, so let's get to him right now. Baritone, how are we feeling?
Hey guys. I'm kind of disappointed, man, in R.J. Barrett. Even though he had 26 points, he's like a basic basketball player. And what I mean by that is, like, if he was playing in the 60s, he'd probably be the best player in the league. Because anytime he goes to the basket, he doesn't have any. He doesn't go up and under. He always gets blocked. And I don't know. And also, Kevin Love is another player. People forget that he's a great rebounder, and yep. I think that's took its turn in the second half when the Knicks lost the lead.
I mean, he had five rebounds, but it was that little sequence where he grabbed a couple of rebounds and threw it down the court for those literally touchdown plays. You know, that was a momentum swing, no doubt about it. But it wasn't like he had a huge. I mean, Mitchell Robinson had 15 rebounds in this game.
Boy,
the Knicks won the rebounding battle.
Mitchell Robinson acts like he's the oldest man in the world. He got hit a lot.
Yeah, he got hit a lot. But they're going to do that. They're going to hit him a lot. But you know what, Baritone, I'm telling you, I just think for one game, they got outfoxed.
Yeah, they got.
It's a different opponent. It's not an inexperienced team like the Cavs are. This is different. These guys are battle tested, man.
It's a team that's not. Like, as talented, but they found it's like when you lose to somebody you know you better than, like as a whole.
It's like
and
when, beat you when you play Jedi your uncle. When you play your uncle,
yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
And you're like, come on, he can't even jump.
Yeah,
but you just they just they're smart.
Pump fake, hook. Like yeah. What?
You just got to get smart. All right, Paul in Queens, what do you got, Paul? Paul, you okay? Oh man, Paul's struggling right now. Sal in Queens, Sal.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Sorry if my voice sounds a little raspy. I was between the Rangers and the Knicks this weekend. It was it's been a long
one. I bet.
I was at the game on Saturday night and then was at a bar watching the game on Sunday. But what's it called? I don't know if you read my little like promo message that I wrote when I called in, Alan, because you basically took the words out of my mouth. You never want to see a guy get hurt, especially a guy like Jimmy Butler. But down 3 points, you know he's going to shoot the free throws. But me and all my buddies were saying, okay, he's going to shoot the free throws. Of course he's going to make them both because now like he probably has a broken ankle or something. Why wouldn't he miss one?
Right.
But whatever. So he makes them both. Then we're saying, oh, they're going to foul. They're going to take him out. Now we're going to be down 5. We'll make a run.
Yeah.
The fact that he's going to come out of the game was shocking in itself to me. I know he's a tough guy, but when he doesn't come out and, I'm sorry, Eric Spoelstra makes a decision to keep him on the court, nobody wants to attack him. That's the craziest thing in the world to me. If they're going to give you a guy who they literally cut to on the TV pretending to shoot jump shots in the corner and wasn't even leaving his feet, like he couldn't walk,
yep,
let alone move laterally and play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think RJ was just so angry at not missing a few calls. And you know,
you got to let that go, man.
Yeah, they weren't thinking. Like, again, they weren't thinking. I mean, it's as simple as that, Sal. Sal, how about this stat? Listen to this. Our stats information group is fantastic during these games. They give you a lot of live information. So this is one that our ESPN SIG sent us. After Butler got hurt with 5 minutes to go, and he couldn't move, he stays in the game. From that point until he left the game with 23 seconds left, he traveled, you're going to laugh at this, but this is all the tracking data. He traveled 0.26 miles, the fewest of any player during that spin. So he barely moved on the court. But the Knicks didn't do anything. He was involved in just 2 pick and rolls on defense. And he switched on 1 play and a foul was called before anything happened. And he was the closest defender, as I mentioned before, on just 1 shot. That's it. And that was a Josh Hart wide open 3. So they didn't do anything to get him involved, and he barely moved on the court. So it was an opportunity loss. Right? Isn't that incredible?
It was crazy, and the whole time I was sitting there like, okay, Brunson's going to run a high pick and roll.
Oh, yeah.
And blow past him in transition.
Yeah, who's he guarding? Come up here and set the screen. Make him switch. Make him do something. Like, make him do something.
Exactly.
They did nothing.
It was so frustrating. Thank you, guys. Let's go, Sal.
You got it, Sal. I mean, it's little things like that, Bart. Just little things like that. Scott Manhattan. Scott, how you feeling today?
Hey, what's up, guys? A couple of points. It's not today to be getting on RJ. The last couple of games, he's been keeping us in the game. He's playing well, so... No, we're not talking about him. But the thing, listen, if you think Lowry's going to score 18 again constantly, not going to happen. Are we going to shoot 5 for 23? Nope. Is Brunson going to go 0 for 7 for 3? Nope. Julius is going to come back. So, listen, stop panicking. Calm down. It's only 1 game. Listen, we're good, you know. Don't be a scary Knicks fan right now. Just believe it's going to happen.
All right, I like it. So some positivity
I think people are just scared because it's a home game. They just, okay, we have to win our home games. It don't happen like that. I mean, just check out what happened yesterday in Golden State.
Oof.
And what happened the game before that.
Steph Curry, by the way.
Steph went Steph.
Yeah, but no, like,
look. Listen. I know we're on the Knicks right now, but I'm just going to say this. If Steph wins 5, this is the Steph Curry era, not the LeBron James era.
Ooh.
Simple said.
You're going there.
That's what I'm going to say.
You're going there.
Yeah.
Ooh, my baby.
Tell me I'm wrong.
It's going to be hard to.
Tell me I'm wrong. If Steph wins 5.
From 2010 to now.
Yes.
Because LeBron had that 1 finals appearance in 07, which was that miraculous run that they had. But aside from that, if you just take it from 2010 up.
Yeah. And what would be
if he gets one more.
And what would be the head-to-head? Don't tell me Clay ain't Clay.
Well, they're going to play each other now.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. In the head-to-head, right?
Head-to-head, I think it's 15-7 in games, like playoff games. I think it's like 15-7.
Give me playoff series.
Well, there's that. There's only the 1. And so, that's when you were up 3-1 and you blew the lead.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at it, man. To me, this is Steph's era. If he caps off 5, it's the Steph era.
Wow. That's
not, not to LeBron.
Overreaction Monday. Bart Scott jumping into the pool.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Knicks lose game one. What did we see there? Are you keeping it positive, or are you major concern? Or you have major concerns with the Knicks? Rangers Devils tonight. It's a game seven. There's nothing more beautiful than a game seven. And we saw game sevens yesterday that saw the defending Stanley Cup champs get knocked out. By the Kraken. By the Seattle Kraken, you lose. And then the Bruins, who had set records in points and wins in a season, President's Trophy, and out in the first round. The Panthers scoring overtime. They were, how about this? The Bruins were winning 3-2 in the final minute. The Panthers tie.
14 seconds.
And then win in OT. It's incredible how that just turned. And now the Bruins are out. So anything can happen. It just what makes it so crazy, but also so much fun. And then we also have the draft, the Jets and the Giants. Bart, what grade? Just quickly. Grades for both teams right now. Jets.
I get the Jets a B.
B. Giants.
I give the Giants an A.
Yeah. The Giants did a very good job in the draft.
And what put them over to A to me is Jalen Hyatt. Uh-huh. I mean, because I thought he would go early in the second round, maybe even like he's an outstanding explosive receiver from Tennessee.
Got remember, him in the third round.
Remember Tennessee was a team that was biding for a national championship before Hooker got
yes.
hurt.
Yeah.
You know, they got destroyed. I think they beat Alabama, and then they lost, I think, to, I forgot who they lost to, and it really set them back.
The win in Alabama, wasn't late. That the one when they took the uprights down?
Yeah.
And remember, threw them in the river?
Remember, we told them.
And then they had a GoFundMe?
They had a GoFundMe to buy another one. Really? Really?
All right, 800-919-3776. A lot of calls to get to.
They'll never live that down. A GoFundMe to buy some. Come on, man. You're a university.
They had a backup. They already have a backup
right.
set.
And you have 100,000 people come to a game. Man, I'll tell you what, get the whole hell out of here.
Think about the new tour you could do. And that's where the uprights are, submerged underwater
but
all these
good.
Years later.
It's good for marina life as it's become a reef. they swim through the little poles on the inside.
Coral reef coral in reef. A river. Yes. Joey in Staten Island. Joey, what's happening, man?
How you doing, fellas?
All right.
Good morning. The 2 points frustrated me yesterday. One was when Jimmy Butler started talking to the refs in the second quarter. They were letting him play. Then the second quarter, him and his boys started talking to the refs, whining. And all of a sudden, they started calling everything, ticky-tack fouls, especially against the Knicks. And the second point is they got to tuck that ball in. They're getting stripped like crazy.
Yeah.
Every time, layup and every tuck, they got to tuck it in, and they got to look at the tape and check it out.
Yeah, showing the ball. Thank you, Joe. Showing the ball, especially against Lowry, it just got to be. It was maddening.
It's such a natural thing that when you're about to jump to kind of bring it down, you know, some of the old school guys. I forgot who used to do it. He used to put it behind his head when he was going, and then he jumped. I forgot, but a lot of guys do that because it's these crafty guys. Another guy that's really good at that is Chris Paul, right? These guys that have been short their whole life know they can't attack you on the rim. So they're going to come in. You think they're
quick
taking
hands.
Yeah, you think they're taking a charge, and then they sit down there and they wait for you to elevate and they take the ball out of your hands. You know what I mean? You got to almost cuff that thing like LeBron does, where he rocks it like a football and then goes up with it and then moves it on the way up.
It's all about adjustments. That's what a playoff series is. And so that's something that they've got to watch film and make sure
point
that
of emphasis.
If you know Kyle Lowry's there, you can't show the ball. The other thing you got to watch out for is he will slide in and try to take charges on you. That's also frustrating. He's one of those frustrating guys. All right, Kevin on the island. Kevin.
It was good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
What you doing, typing your resume?
No, I'm not talking. No, I'm at work, man.
Okay.
I got two points I want to make or whatever. I hope y'all address them. The first one, I'm not going to belabor too much, and that I think that Tibbs got a little bit out coached there or whatever. You're going with a championship caliber there, coaching Spoelstra. I think he got a little out coached. I know you can't say but so much on. I know that you worked with the company.
Kevin, don't ever say that. Because that every time somebody says that to me, I think it's ridiculous. I work for ESPN. They pay the majority of my salary comes from ESPN. I owe it to them to be honest and keep it real. So this whole thing that I can't say, I'm not working for MSG right now. I can say what I want to say.
Anything. All right. I'm not questioning integrity, Al. I'm not just not, right, not doing
just,
that.
I don't like when people do that because it's not true. It's literally not true.
All right. The next thing I want to find out something or whatever, and maybe it's just me and my issues with Randall. I have a problem. If I see Jimmy Butler play tomorrow, come back Tuesday, and he's playing, I'm going to have a problem with Randall.
Kevin, can I stop right there? Because that's not fair. Because this is the second time he heard it, right? So, it's different when you hurt something the first time you fight through, but when you hurt it the second time, it's a lot worse, right? He came back, and we didn't think he was going to play game one on the first series, and he came out, and he gave us a lot of minutes. So I think that's a little bit unfair because Jimmy Butler, like I tell you guys before, Kevin, you take the shot once, and you're good. You take it twice, it doesn't have the same effect.
I think when I watched him, Kevin, in pregame, he's moving pretty well.
Good.
But you know what? The difference, though, with an ankle roll – or an ankle injury like that is you can run straight forward and not have a problem.
The side to side.
It's when you have to cut and spin and push off and pivot.
One question, though. Don't y'all think that he could have, at the minimum, just give you 15 to 20 minutes. Let's even 15 to 10 minutes or whatever.
All right, Kevin, were you thinking that?
But wait, I know
you're not wrong. We agree that they missed his presence. But were you thinking that up 12 in the second quarter? No, you weren't thinking that up 12 in the second quarter.
No, well,
the only reason why it's they almost got away with giving him one more day rest.
Right.
That's I think the point I'm trying to make, Kevin.
Yeah.
They almost got away with giving him one more game. It just didn't. It ended up backfiring because of how the offense fell apart in the second half. And now we'll see if he will be ready to go in game two. Because I'm with you. They need him to play in this series, 100%. Dwayne on Long Island, Hello. Dwayne.
Hey, Bar Han, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
I got a question for you, Han.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's deja vu? Because I'm looking at that game this past Sunday, yesterday, and I'm seeing Atlanta all over again. I'm seeing Tibbs get out coached. I'm seeing Miami make adjustments in the second half.
The adjustments were definitely there in the second half.
It's just the shooting.
I'm trying to figure out what part of 5 for 23 on wide open threes was coaching.
I get it, but when you allow players to just go ISO, the ball has energy. The ball needs to move.
Dwayne, who went ISO?
Brunson.
All right, did you see?
They scored, ABC. 60 points in the paint.
ABC did an amazing a reel of plays where Brunson got into the paint, three players surrounded him, and he kicked it out for wide open threes. What part of ISO is that? They missed open threes off of a million passes that he threw because he drew all the attention of the defense. That's how you're supposed to play.
So I have a follow-up question. When he was successful in the first half, was he kicking the ball out? Was the ball touching anybody else's hand?
Because they weren't putting the wall up that they put up in the second half.
Right,
so what do you do? Well, but again, you're talking to me about adjustments. The adjustment is get into the paint, and when you draw defense, spray it out for open threes. There's nothing else to do there. What other strategy did you want? Shoot against four defenders?
No. Which he did. He shot against double teams.
Well, eventually, sometimes when a guy's missing the corner three, after a while, you're like, I got to take a couple here. maybe I can draw a foul. Like, you got it. You're trying to figure out something in the moment.
See, Dwayne,
I don't see it
around the first half.
I don't know.
You don't have touch of the ball.
No. Dwayne, the ball. They were up 40
like,
to.
What do you expect?
Dwayne, you really think this is about guys were standing around? Did you watch the game?
It's a make or miss.
Yes, I watched the game.
That wasn't what was happening. That wasn't what was happening.
Dwayne, it's a make or miss. It's a make or miss.
I don't know what you guys are watching.
D, it's a make or miss league, right? Like, they missed a lot of free throws, and they were horrible from 3-point. If you just get better on both, then the game is a totally different situation. Now, yes, Jimmy Buckets, like, you know, knowing that they weren't shooting great from outside, leaked out 3 times. Right.
Yeah, that moment was backbreaking. Yeah,
but that's the shooter. Like, what's the shooter supposed to do? Shoot and go and go chase Jimmy Buckets? That's just something that he saw happening. He probably recognized that they weren't really hitting their shots. So he's like, I'm going to leak out. And they discussed that before.
Dwayne,
it worked.
I'll say this, Dwayne, and I'm hoping to get Monica McNutt on later on in the show because her and I had a discussion about this, and Dwayne's busy in another conversation now. So, Monica felt that way, that – you know, you shouldn't just keep taking threes, then you should just keep driving. And I disagreed. And I said, no, they're open threes.
You got to take the open shot. You heard Tibbs. There, you got to take it.
By the way, did Dwayne not sound like Patrick Ewing? He sounded a lot like Patrick. In the middle, I was like, is that Patrick?
Maybe Patrick's calling in. Yeah.
Patrick's calling in mad about what he saw. Reggie's in Tampa. Reggie, what'd you see?
Hey, how you doing, Alan? Right. How you doing, Bart Scott? I love listening to your show. But what I saw that nobody's not paying attention to is with R.J. Barrett and Josh Hart. Every time they go down on offense and they don't get their calls, they're sitting there arguing with the referee.
That happened, yes.
That's what,
not getting back.
And that's causing a lot of fast break points, and that's when the momentum started changing. Second thing, when R.J. Barrett, whoever was sticking him, I think his name Vane or something like that, he was giving him the business. R.J. Barrett was taking it to him. I'm like, why are they going away from it? This is all discipline. They just got to lock it down, and hopefully they can go ahead and get a win on Tuesday and hopefully get one down there Saturday because I'm going to be down there.
Are you going?
I want to go down and look stupid.
I like it. But no, you're not going to look stupid. Reggie, here's the thing. Thanks for the call. Bart, I don't feel like there's a concern about going down to Miami. That's MSG South. Yeah. Anybody that has paid attention, that building is going to be 50-50.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be an overwhelming Heat fan crowd. There's going to be a ton of Knicks fans in that building. So it's not like, oh, my God, you're going to go on the road and have to deal. Like, you're not going to Boston.
Right.
You know? This is a little bit different when you play at Miami because you're going to get a lot of Knicks fans down there. So that's a reality there as well. All right.
Because you know why? Because the Knicks fans are like, hiding out amongst the Miami fans, so they live there, so they see it when they go to Ticketmaster, they see that they're ordering tickets from the right region, but they don't realize
that's right, like the Rams tried to do.
Like, hold on, no.
We can't sell to you.
If your area code on your phone ain't this, or you
212-917, no, we can't sell to you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Jets and the Giants both obviously...
We up, New York!
...had good drafts. Bart already gave grades out. He gave an A to the Giants. He gave a, you said B to the Jets, right?
Yep.
And there's a lot to unpack in both drafts. And so we're going to make that opportunity for you now. Overreaction Monday, you can ask Bart about the draft and what Bart believes in these different players and how these rosters now stack up and everything else. Because remember, they play each other this coming season. So, I mean, football in New York, baby. So we'll get into that 1 o'clock hour. So get yourself ready to be part of that conversation. But in the meantime, Bart, we got a ton of calls stacked, racked, and ready to go. So let's continue with them, shall we? And we go next to Mitch in Hillsboro. Go ahead, Mitch.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I think I got two or three things I wanted to touch on. Let me start by saying I'm a pro Tibbs guy. So, I mean, I like all the things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I think we got a little bit outfoxed. Early on in the game, and they played this on Channel 7. I don't know if you heard it or saw it. It was Spoelstra called the timeout, and he was mic'd up. And with a stern voice, he says to his guys in the huddle, "Hey, I think you guys forgot who you're playing. These guys are aggressive and attacking. Why are you letting them do that?" And he was angry, and I think those guys got the message. Because after that, you start to see a little bit of a shifting in the whole process. The Knicks weren't getting through on the attack and the fast break like they were early on. Also, I think Tibbs has got to get Brunson more rest on the bench, guys.
Yeah,
he is burning him out.
Yeah.
Comes to the third and fourth quarter, Brunson's tired. And when he's tired, you can tell he starts making bad decisions and he's turning the ball over. You got to have confidence
That's
and
fair.
Quickly got to play in some extended minutes. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. First of all,
Quickly has to be better.
Quickly's got to be. He was not really. He was invisible. He did not play well. He really hasn't had a great playoffs. He had a good game five.
Yeah.
But Quickly, and it's so when you see that as a coach and you feel the game slipping away, you're going to lean into, I got to get my guys back out there. You're not wrong about that, though. You could he played 40 minutes, and he's going to wear down with all the defense and a pressure and intensity that's going to be on him. So that's an observation that I'll agree with because you got to be better off the bench and you got to get more out of Emmanuel Quickly. It has to happen. Now, the other part is, I will say this, though, Mitch, when it comes to, you know, Spo in the huddle and everything else. I've said this before the series started. This is going to be a chess match between two coaches. It's going to be constant adjustments, constant like movement. This is going to be a lot of that going on from play to play, quarter to quarter, half to half, game to game. It's just that's the way this is going to be. And in this one, Spo made adjustments that worked, and the Knicks simply didn't make the shot. Like their offense was able to get them what they wanted. They just didn't make sure. I know it sounds like I'm making it too simple, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's as simple as shooting 20% from three in a playoff game is going
to
hurt you.
You know what's crazy? Like they were able to get that because they're able to break down, you know, Jalen Brunson, even Hart. They're able to break down the defense. And listen, this may be crazy, but just imagine maybe 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of Fournier.
No, please, no. Please saying, don't be one of those guys.
I'm just saying.
Five minutes doesn't do anything. It's not enough. Can't play a guy 5 minutes and he's going to make an impact. It doesn't happen. He shot 30% from three this season. This is not a guy that's in the midst of like being lights out shooter like he was 2 years ago. He's also a defensive liability.
Now,
you could say, well, they play Duncan Robinson. He's a defensive liability. They hide him.
Yeah. That's
but exactly they've been playing Duncan Robinson. They've had to. And he kind of knows where he's supposed to be. Evan Fournier has been persona non grata. You can't throw him into a playoff series and just say, hey, just do this and it'll work. Like, I think only out of necessity do you play a guy like Evan Fournier. But if you're telling me Evan Fournier saves the series, I'm not buying that.
I mean, Julius Randle fixes everything.
Julius
right?
Randle fixes
because,
everything.
Because Grimes is a good three-point shooter.
And Grimes
shooter.
Has to get himself, get his legs
One,
back under
him. He has
to
get his legs back, but, you know, also he got to be able to spell Hart. Because Hart only can do so much on the offensive end because he's spending all his energy. Because he's a good three-point shooter, too.
Yeah. And yeah, Grimes shoots 38%.
Right. No, so that's what I'm saying. Those open shots. But now you're wearing so much. And it's weird.
5 minutes, though. Evan Fournier, 5 minutes is not the answer. It's 5 minutes.
I meant 13, probably.
13?
Or five per half.
I'll tell you right now, in a series like this where every defensive possession matters.
I got you.
That's a scary thing.
Yeah, zone it up.
Oof. Bobby in Portchester, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Actually, I live up in Lenox, Mass. Now, but I'm originally from Portchester.
All right, there you go.
You know, Bart, we should talk down on the other side of the town. Alan, I've talked to you before. But, guys, you know, I've been a Knicks fan since 1973, and I have a really big problem with the modern-day NBA. I'm sick and tired of three-point shots. Why can't guys play in the post anymore? Why can't somebody – how come Obi Toppin could call Kevin McHale or call a guy –
I can answer Bobby.
They got 60 points in paint.
Yeah, but I understand the post thing, but you understand the game has gone so far away from that today.
But why?
Because
why?
Of the why? Well, I'll explain
it. It's pure stupidity. Go ahead.
The analytics tell you that the three is worth more than two.
It's crazy.
Two twos,
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's crazy. But that's literally what has happened is that the guys have become so much better as three-point shooters.
Hey, Bobby.
That it's just become... Well, I mean, they're much better. They are, actually.
I mean, Brooke Lopez is the evolution.
But here's the other reason why. Because when you... Just hang on. When you have somebody in the post, like Patrick Ewing. Let's go with Patrick Ewing, right?
Okay.
You have so much defense focused there that no one else has any ability to do anything but shoot from the perimeter. That you, because there's no room in the paint. You can't drive.
But Al, the thing is, if you post, it gives you so many more options. I mean,
what are the options? You double team Obi, and then what?
Hey,
wait, wait. You double team, but you can look. You can screen for an outside shot.
Screen for
you
who?
You can screen for a guy. Why is it that R.J. Barrett can't drive to the basket? So why don't we watch films of Dr. J? Julius Erving wasn't a great shooter. He took the ball in the baseline and stuffed the damn ball.
Listen, Bobby, different game.
Unwatchable.
He's from a different era.
Bobby, but before you go, Bobby, I'm going to give you the football equivalent. That's like saying, why don't you run the ball more and not throw the ball more in the NFL? Because you score more points and more good things happen when you throw the ball. Because I'm just telling you, see it in every sport. You see it in every sport. In baseball, launch angle.
Yeah, why baseball? We don't bunt anymore. We don't bunt guys over. We don't go for base hits anymore. We don't want guys on base anymore. It's all home runs.
And that's why analytics has ruined baseball. Ruined basketball. And thank God I'm a Ranger fan. That's my favorite team. And they can't screw up hockey. Thank God. Analysts can't screw up hockey.
Oh, they'll find a way. They'll find a way, Bobby. They'll find a way. I mean, that's that old school argument is one it's very difficult to explain because the days of the they call them the dinosaurs posting up.
Yeah.
And you just, you know,
I mean, you get
it's
Jokic,
the dribble
you get
dragging you across the paint. It just you know, Sabonis is one of the few last guys left.
And maybe Jokic.
And Jokic,
But he passes
because his footwork's so good.
Yeah, and he passes from there.
But you have to be a great passer out of the play. If you're, again, Sabonis is a really good
Chris
passer.
You better be Chris Webber.
It's just a lot easier for defenses when you play that way. But it doesn't mean that you can't. Just most teams choose not to. I would get Randall in the post. I'll tell you that. In this series, if he can get healthy.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.